This should be the Laracast Snippet episode number 12. One thing that I've been working on the last couple days is a Russian doll caching mechanism specifically for my Laravel projects. And yeah, this is one of those things where I'm not convinced it's providing enough value once you actually do the numbers. But I'm still at the point where I'm just seeing what would this look like when I need to create a custom blade directive. How would I go about fetching the cache and reducing my database queries and pulling entire HTML fragments from the cache? So I've gotten to the point where I've gotten that to work. So now I'm still sort of testing it out to see, am I really getting enough value here? Now, if you're not familiar with Russian doll caching, this actually became pretty popular in the Rails world. And it's nothing more than a unique approach to casting your views, but in terms of little fragments. So you can imagine a big box where you're caching, I don't know, all of your tweets. And then within that box, you would cache each individual tweet. So you can imagine little boxes within there. And that way, because you have all of this nested caching going on, if for whatever reason you need to change a tweet or delete a tweet, anything like that, well, traditionally, you would have to recache everything again, right? You just kind of clear out that whole cache and do it all over again. But with this approach, because you're caching each individual tweet, if you change one, all you have to do is clear out the cache for that one tweet, and it won't affect the siblings. So yeah, think of it as a way to reuse fragments as much as possible. Now, in terms of implementation, yeah, it can get a little tricky because imagine that you're caching your tweets or any concept you want. We'll just use some kind of custom Twitter clone. All right, so you're caching each of the tweets, but let's say the user changes one, or at some point that tweet gets updated in the database. Well, how do you go about clearing that cache? Well, you could manually do it. So you could set up some kind of hook that whenever you update the tweet, you will fire an event or simply call cache forget, and then you use some kind of predefined string. But at least from my experience, this can be kind of fragile because it's very likely you'll forget to do that, and then your page and your database becomes out of sync. Or, there's a number of situations where errors can arise because you forgot to clear the cache at some point. So another mechanism we can use for that is a key-based cache. So imagine this. Imagine that you're caching a block of HTML and any database queries within it. For example, if you reference some kind of relationship that would lazy load a collection. Well, yeah, if you're caching that whole block, you would only perform that once and never again. But anyways, imagine if we're caching a tweet and we set the key for the cache equal to a string that includes the tweet's last updated at timestamp. Okay, well, that's kind of a different approach. Now we have a key-based cache, and whenever you update that tweet, the updated at timestamp will change, and as a result, it will sort of, in effect, bust the cache. In reality, it doesn't clear the cache, it just ignores it, and then eventually that will get flushed out automatically. But yeah, when you take that approach, when you work the timestamp into the key itself, you are no longer responsible for manually emptying out that cache. So you never have to remember, oh, when I update this record, I need to make sure that I clear this key and this key and this key. Yeah, you don't have to do that because the key is based upon the timestamp. So when the timestamp changes, you automatically recache, yeah, the block or the view or the HTML fragment, whatever it happens to be. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting approach. It's a little difficult to explain in a podcast. So that's why I'm going to be doing one or two videos to, at the very least, to just examine this approach within the context of a Laravel application. One thing I'm concerned about right now is, in the Rails world, it might make a bit more sense because the compilation and the rendering of views is actually a pretty costly thing for Rails. For Laravel and PHP, that's not as much the case at all. So some of the performance benefits that they would get, we may not necessarily experience as much. But where we do get the benefit is the simple fact that if you are loading a big block of HTML and you're rendering a view that renders other views and other partials and other partials, well, if you can just cache that entire thing and then serve the cache and ignore all of that rendering on subsequent requests, that could be pretty cool. And then, like I said earlier, a second benefit is if you happen to forget to eager load any of your database queries, Well, yeah, you could end up with the N plus one problem, right? And especially if you're not monitoring this, it happens all the time. You end up doing some stats and you realize, oh, for each statement, I was actually running 90 different database queries because I didn't eager load everything. So, of course, best practice, go ahead and eager load it. But imagine that you didn't do that. The end result wouldn't be that terrible because within your view, you're caching that entire block. So the very first page visit, you wouldn't have a cache, so you would do those 80 queries. But then for everyone else on subsequent clicks, well, the cache is already warmed up, so you would just pull from that, and you would never need to do any additional database queries. So at that point, you would only have one query. So yeah, that's almost like a weird side effect benefit to this approach, is it protects you against any potential N plus one issues. But yeah, who knows? This is one of those things. I'm playing around with it. I'm trying it out. I'm seeing, does this have a place in my workflow? It very well might turn out that when you do the numbers and when you test how many milliseconds these operations take, you're just not getting that much bang for your buck. Or I might find out something different. I guess we'll see. So if you're curious about this, head on over to layercast.com. You'll probably see it there, but otherwise just do a quick search for Russian doll caching. And a little tip there, on layercast.com, on any page, hit the letter S and you can instantly start searching the site. All right, I'm Jeffrey Way, Layercast Snippet. I will see you in episode 13.